until we get a set text that I'm going to be lecturing on contiguously, which I haven't had time to do yet, I'm just going to lecture on the things that I've been speaking at the various places that I attend. So I gave a lecture last night on Chaitanya Bhagavan, so we'll Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Niravari Krishna Vesha Prabhu Sarira Mahavira Tera Praya Vyavahara Kari. Ecstatic love of Krishna was constantly visible in the body of the Lord, and he became most renounced in his dealing. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayambhupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Sise Namaha Vansha Kalpa Taru Pyashta Kripa Shindu Vaye Vaja Patita Nam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Dallas. This is my first class back in America. I should be here for 6 or 7 months, which should make it a little bit easy to get this kind of consistency in the class, which I say with kind of a pride I've been able to maintain, I think, now for almost about 6 years. And I think it's been one of the successes of the Sangha that it can be habitual. Unfortunately, we missed a few classes in the last month or so due to traveling. So it's very nice to be in Dallas, Texas. It's where I joined the ashram when I came to Krishna Consciousness in 1970, meeting the devotees in Los Angeles on Watsika Avenue in the very temple they have now, and on Frederick Street in San Francisco, and then visiting the temple in Henry Street. In fact, when I came back to New York to look for the temple after I met the devotees, we initially went to 61 Second Avenue, and they had just moved out. So then they gave us the address, and we was at my friend Jan, and then we went there. And then somehow or other, 4 years later, continuing to go to the university, that calling was there to go to kind of move in the ashram, and for various circumstances, this place right here. But it's very, very wonderfully developed. it's probably, in one sense, the best urban center of Krishna consciousness in the world, in the sense that it's a beautiful complex, and the devotees have their own, they own all the housing around the temple. Right in front of the temple, practically, I think every house on both sides of the block. So it makes it very, very convenient. And they have the number one vegetarian restaurant in Dallas. I went there twice, but mainly I went there because I enjoy to see something that's so well run. And it's a wonderful restaurant, very, very packed. And also nice Sadhu Sangha here. Here you are at Swami, and Rai Maharaj, Tatvaja Swami, and others. And all the people that have been here for so many, so many years, serving the deities of Radha Kalachandri. So, a lot of nice memories here. It's the place where, I think I told that story, that in those days there's a line drawn in the sand that a devotee meant someone lived in the temple. It didn't mean, it didn't matter if you were married, had five kids. Devotee was someone who lived in the temple. So, I was pressured with that kind of commitment and wasn't able to make it 4 years after I initially met the devotees and wanted to and had that kind of talking yesterday about that Bhakti Lata Beach, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach, that seed of devotion, that faith, that conviction based on experience, that sublimity lies in serving God. That was so deeply put in my heart. And at that time, the facilities and the understanding was that you can do that when you move into the ashram. There was no kind of congregational support program. There was no congregation. So, it was attention. And I remember that I was visiting the temple. A friend had invited me here. And I was painting one of the rooms, and then someone came and said to me that all the devotees are invited upstairs to Prabhupada's room. He was there at the time. To get prasadam. And I asked them, could I come? They said, you can also come. I remember, you know, they didn't say I was a devotee, even though I, you know, because I had a mustache and, you know, I wasn't wearing a dhoti. And I remember waiting on that line so vividly to come into Prabhupada's room and kind of praying that I could fully surrender to Srila Prabhupada. So, and in my mind, because I was always studying, I was quoting the verse in Bhagavad Gita. I was quoting the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadhamam pratyaja mamaikam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mukshyasyama. That don't worry, masuchaha, masuchaha, masuchaha. Just surrender. Masuchaha means don't worry. Don't worry. And I remember, it's literally, when I got the two rascoolas, everyone got two rascoolas from Prabhupada's hands, when I fit into them, that conviction came. Somehow that faith somehow came to the level. It was really a mystical thing. There's no other explanation for it than the potency of Mahaprasad and the potency of the association with Mahabhagavan. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, it says that everyone can will be influenced by the power and potency of such a devotee, except those that are have a little knowledge and proud, and that's very, very visible. Of someone who shields themselves by pride from that type of effect and that type of influence. But if one is innocent and simple-minded and open-hearted, without offense, spiritual phenomena can have an amazing effect on the consciousness. Anyway, I'm enjoying my stay here at the home of Devaprastha and Adi Shakti. And I do feel the presence of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the welcoming and hosting here of the devotees. And enlivened to see Prabhupada's mission vibrant in many, many ways. So, this is the Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is chapter 1.
It's the beginning of the Sankirtan mission. And the beginning of the Sankirtan mission is the
Sankirtan, Kirtan. Kirtan means when the devotion in the heart is expressed. So it's based on devotion. And devotion is very special energy of God. It's the essence of His bliss potency. That's what bhakti is. And it comes to the hearts of one who wants to serve God. That's our dharma. That's our function. We're part of God. We're meant for God's service. And what is real service? Please someone, and what is real pleasure? Real pleasure is love. And that love is an energy of God. Of course, the love is in our heart. But when that love manifests, the real desire to serve, there's an energy of God that flows through the consciousness. And tadatmika, our consciousness becomes one with that love. One with that bhava. And when that bhava comes into the heart, the nature of love and the purpose of love is the expression of love. So one wants to express that love. And the main expression of love is to talk or glorify the object of one's love. It's the main expression of love, and it's the main nourishment of love. So,
kirtan has to start with that love. And the story of Chaitanya, in this beginning of the book here, it's a mission.
Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has different junctions in his life. And there's Adi Lila. That's the first half of his life. And the second half of his life is Sesha Lila. And that Sesha Lila is divided into two parts. The Madhya Lila is the first 6 years. 24 to 30, and from 30 to 48 is the Anchalila. So his Madhya Lila is when the Sankirtan mission begins. And it begins when Lord Chaitanya gets the bhava, gets the devotion, the love of Godhead. He doesn't have that love of Godhead. He's searching for that love of Godhead. And to get love of Godhead, to get that energy within your heart, you have to put yourself in a humble position of servant. This energy doesn't flow to the position of pride. So this is actually the birth of Kirtan. Lord Chaitanya surrenders. He meets Guru. If we know the story of Chaitanya, you know, it's described there in the Adi Lila that God wants to enjoy a particular type of love. It's called spontaneous devotion. Love that doesn't have anything external to devotion. That's called Kevala Bhakti. And in our tradition, that's what comes in disciplic succession. What comes in disciplic succession is Kevala Bhakti. Somehow or other, by God's fortune, we're linked to that conception. The conception of the form of God in which you have relationship with and the specific relationship you have with God, it comes in disciplic succession. And that there's two views of that. Somehow or other, those with that spirit, those with that nature, karmically are connected to a particular tradition that gets that. Or it comes in that particular tradition and it somehow nourishes your heart. So somehow that's it comes, that connection, those feelings, those sentiments, one way or another, real devotion comes when there is commitment, solid commitment to the position of servant and surrender to that conception. Otherwise, real devotion doesn't come. Because it's the energy of God, and it's an energy of God that controls God, because it's his pleasure potency. And obviously and very naturally, one is controlled by love. It's a great defect if you are not responsive to love. If someone gives themselves to you and you are not impelled to serve them, you're not compelled to subjugate yourself to their true nature and true desires. So the very nature of love is that it controls. And someone who's not controlled by love is heartless. Someone who's controlled by love is impersonal. It's not an opulence to be cold. And therefore, one of the opulences of God is that he's bhaktivatsala. He's very affectionate to his devotees. He's actually Sri Krishna Karshini. The nature of love, prema, is that it attracts God, it controls God. So that energy of love, that's not very easily given unless one, from their heart, makes a commitment that I am your servant, that I will serve your desire. And what is the desire of God? It's the desire of those who have pure love for God. So unless one puts oneself in that position, there's no real chance of having that type of love. And there's no real chance of doing real kirtan. Because kirtan is born of love. So unless one has that spirit and that commitment, what is the question of real kirtan? And when one has that spirit or devotion within their hearts, when one has that spirit or devotion in their hearts, then naturally they want to, then they have something very, very special. And their kirtan is not ordinary. It's such a difference, and everyone can perceive that. Very, very clearly one can perceive that it's actually such a difference. If you think of those who, if you think of those whom you admire, or those whose kirtan you like, it's not just musical ability. There's something mystical within it. It's just like when you're chanting your japa. One thing that Prabhupada said is you can listen to the sincerity of your chanting, the heart of your chanting. It's not just the syllables. It's something that happens to those syllables. Of course, just to chant those syllables, it's a mystical combination of Prakritic sound. But it's not. It's transformed. It's like energy in a refrigerator. It's cold, and then the energy in a hot plate. It's the same energy. It can be transformed. So this energy of God, if it's a particular type of combination, it unlocks something to connect with that spiritual realm. It's no longer prakritic material. But what unlocks it the most is the intention on which it is spoken. And when the intention is pure love, it is called Shuddhanam. It is called Shuddhanam, and it has a most powerful effect. It's called Shuddhanam, and it has most powerful effect. Full power so when that intention, when the name is born of that intention, it carries some conviction in it, some power in it. It's the full combination to unlock the full. It is non-different from God. It's kind of like, again, an iron rod in fire becomes heat and light. A specific combination of sounds attract God. God enters. And then, according to the intensity of the connection of the heart, it becomes God, like the iron ball becomes heat and light. It becomes Krishna. It's just like certain stones, shalagram shilas. You may say it's stone. You can analyze it. You can say it's made by mites. But it becomes a receptacle to God as if God is there. Same thing with the deities. it's material, but in that form, if there is the intention of the pure devotee to worship God in that form becomes God. So that name, that's the real kirtan. That's the real kirtan. And when that name is chanted, a sincere person who hears it is in association with God, and his heart becomes affected way beyond any rhythm or melody, although the rhythm and the melody, the tal and the rag, for someone who has that spirit, helps to unlock those feelings and sentiments of God, no doubt, if that's their objective. So the birth of kirtan, the roots of kirtan, is that bhava. And that bhava comes with the commitment to be connected with God in service. And when one's connected with God in service, there's a certain energy that comes to one's heart to serve God. And you simply have the hand and the body. When the hand's connected to the body, when the hand's serving the body, then it has the energy of the body to serve the body. And the energy of God to serve God is called love. So that's the birth of the kirtan movement. And the history of it is God wants to become his devotee. He wants to become his devotee. He wants to experience that. He wants to experience that. No, I just don't like leaving it out. I don't know. So it's a very, very beautiful lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to Gaya. Somehow he meets his guru at this holy place. And he's been inspired. Somehow or other, that form of devotion communicates to him that this is the abode of love, where by which he can become connected to that love. So he makes that commitment, and within that commitment, there's a complete change in consciousness. It's a change in identity. From I am the enjoyer and I am the controller to I am the servant. It's described in a very interesting way. What Acharya described it is that in traditional Indian culture, whether one understands it or agrees with it, but the fact of the matter is that the girl would be very much under her father's care, and her identity would be his daughter. And then when she would get married, she would go to the husband's house, and her identity would be as wife. It'd be a complete identity change with that commitment. So in a spiritual tradition, what the initiation would be a change in identity from I am the center to I am the servant of the center. I'm the servant of the servant of the center. I enter into the world of God, which is to enter into the world of reality, because everything is God's energy. So everything is meant for the service of the divine. So you enter into that world, you change your identity. Everything external can look the same, but the identity is changed. And when that identity is changed, there's a connection in which an identity of love flows. And a complete shift in consciousness happens. And that's what a real disciple in bhakti means. That's what a real disciple in bhakti means. And when you see a devotee, you will see someone who's transcended that egotistical conception that I am the controller and enjoyer. I look at things as objects for me. And the conception has changed. So I am for the pleasure of God and others. I am for the pleasure of God represented by the identity changes. And therefore one moves completely in the mood of service. Because unless you change the identity, you don't move in the mood of service. You do everything for yourself. And love doesn't flow from the heart for one who views things as and does things just for themselves. So it's really the key is that identity. And that identity is the receptacle of love. And when that change happens, there's a profound change in the person. And it's a profound change in their consciousness. Because in the bhakti tradition, what is the attainment of consciousness? It's overwhelming love. And there's no other symptom of overwhelming love than wanting to chant and hear the names of one's beloved. There's no difference in bhakti and the desire to chant and hear about God. They're exactly commensurate. And when one has that spirit, he can always chant. Because there's nothing more pleasurable than love. It's not something you do to attain a goal. There's no objective other than to please. And that sense of selflessness is pleasure. And once you enter into that space of consciousness, there's nothing that can move you from that. Therefore, a person who's very, very saintly, they're shunning praise. Because they're afraid that it will... Anything that enhances your material position can enhance your control. And if your objective is enjoyment, you want more control to move things according to your desire. So one doesn't want to move in that position. They don't want to move. Generally, the materialistic person, they want reputation, they want, you know, money. Why? Because it can give you control. And with control, you can move the world more according to your desires. A saintly person has no desire for these things, because they're all connected with the ego. They have no desire for their reputation. They have no desire. Remember the story of Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji, who was completely attached to the holy name. He would chant 24 hours a day. And he had no... The Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada's institution, was broken into different factions. So he didn't belong to anyone. He would go from one to another. He would go from one to another. And when he would go to one to another, one time someone accused him. Oh, I know why you're going from one place to another. You're just doing politics. And then he told them, he said, yes, everyone was always saying that I was an advanced devotee, but now they see my true nature. He could care less. Sometimes they even relish that. They relish that. Let me not touch any situation that moves me to the position of ego. Because as soon as I feel some prestige, I cannot be a devotee. I cannot feel love. I cannot be served. I cannot feel mercy. So Lord Chaitanya becomes a devotee, and from that is born the kirtan. And then when he returns home, his love is to the fullest degree because he made the fullest commitment. He made the fullest commitment, and therefore he can be trusted with the highest love. You can't be trusted with that love unless you're committed to love. He was trusted with God's energy of love. God intoxicated. And he came home and he was just completely transformed. That chapter is actually the beginning of the Sankirtan mission, and that's the beginning of it. He comes home and he's completely in a mood of separation because the real love, prema, is like a river. And it needs these two embankments, union and separation. If you have true love for someone, you have feelings of separation. When you're with them, you feel that separation that they will go. When they're God, you feel that separation. And when they're God, you feel union in your thoughts within your heart. It's a very mysterious thing. But his prema, was flowing so deeply. And therefore, all the love, which is called rasa, all the bhavas, Ganga, rivers of Ganga tears flowing from his eyes, completely intoxicated in the love of Godhead. Crying, where is Krishna? Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He's so pained. He is in the torment of viraha bhav, or separation. This is such a deep point. The Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy of higher consciousness. Higher consciousness, is, if it's love, it's torment. And in that torment is the highest pleasure, because it's the highest love. And it is the utmost state of humility, because you value love so much that in the separation of the object of your love, you feel the least worthy. So they say sometimes that this dānya, or utter humility, is only felt in this highest form of love with the mood of Vṛndāvana, because it has the most intimate love and it has the highest degree of separation, very intimate and high subjects. They're feeling utter humility. And that utter humility is commensurate with the highest form of love. And the degree that there is ego or pride is the degree that you don't have love in your heart. Because you can't feel mercy if you're proud. You can't appreciate love if you are proud. Because you're always feeling, I deserve more. So how do you feel love in that consciousness? And in that consciousness of dānya, or utter humility. So Lord Chaitanya comes home and he's transformed. And he's a teacher. And he's teaching Sanskrit. And there's actually three levels of analysis of words. It's called unenlightened, ordinary, and enlightened. He goes from ordinary understanding of grammar to enlightened understanding of grammar. And the enlightened understanding of anything is its connection to God and the utility it has to put that love of God within your heart. So he starts to teach the Sanskrit grammar in relationship to names and pastimes of Krishna. The same grammar that's written by Panini, he analyzes, and actually Jiva Goswami, one great scholar, writes this book, Harinam Amrita Vyakaran, the grammar of the nectar of Krishna's names. And at one time I studied a little bit of this, and I was amazed. Because it was based on Lord Chaitanya, but written by Jiva Goswami. I was amazed that every vowel was a name and pastime of Krishna. And, you know, if you know Sanskrit, you take certain endings off and you add certain things to become. It was all pastimes of Krishna. And therefore, when he taught that it's all pastimes of Krishna, therefore, the purpose of grammar and the purpose of all analysis of Shastra is to develop your relationship with God and inspire your relationship with God in a way that you will have a relationship with God who most readily is accessible in the form of His name. And that's called sambandha, relationship. You're chanting kirtan, but when you have a relationship, it becomes real love. And when someone chants with that relationship, you feel that relationship. And that type of kirtan, that's coming in the septic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even all these other people that were with Neem Karoli Baba, they got their kirtan when they were in Vrindavan. from the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who were chanting in the pure name. That's where it comes. Sankirtanaika Pitaro Ajano Lumbito Bujo Kanika Pitaro Sankirtanaika Pitaro. Lord Chaitanya is the father of kirtan. Because it's born when God becomes the devotee. And therefore becomes his best devotee, and therefore can chant with the most love. So when he comes home, it's startling. His mother is terrified. He can't, putting his wife in front of him, he can't even see his wife. He has this universal love now. And it's so powerful, it's flowing through one's heart. And then he teaches his students the grammar in terms of the holy names. And then teaches the meaning of the Shastra in terms of a relationship with God. And therefore comes to the conclusion, that conclusion of all Shastras, is to chant the holy names. That's the conclusion. If you really know hermeneutics, analysis of sacred texts, you'll see that the conclusion of those sacred texts is to chant the holy name. Most powerful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this. And he is predicted in the sacred text. Krishna Vana Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sane. Those who are Samedasa, those who are very intelligent. Yajantihi Samedasa. Krishna Vana Trisha Krishnam. Krishna Vana means he will have the color, he will have the Vana of Krishna. That means also the color. And he'll have Vana means Vanyate. He will be speaking Krishna. Trisha Krishna. But he won't have the color of Krishna. He'll be Krishna without the color. Sango Pangasha. And the weapons of his will be his associates. Sankirtan, and they'll be doing Sankirtan. The congregational chanting of Bhagavan. Jiva Goswami says that this Sankirtan gives special feelings of bliss. There is a principle in Rasa Shastra that shared bliss is more powerful than individual bliss. Shared bliss. Because bliss is love. Bliss is love. And when love is shared, it opens the heart more to love. Last night we had such a beautiful kirtan. I did a program. Some of you may remember Jack. When Mahamuni joined in Tulaco, he had four friends. Mike Pokler, Srinivas, and Jack. So Jack moved to Dallas. He's around the corner from where I stay. So he's a postman. Came to Dallas because I'm just trying to figure out the economy, but houses are so damn cheap. That's kind of the standard of living, you know. It's not expensive here at all. And your price is probably less than half the price.
had a program with. Completely packed. Mostly with young people. Beautiful. I don't know who the Kirtanier was. Beautiful Kirtanier. Everybody dancing, chanting, ecstasy. That's what Lord Chaitanya gave.
So he naturally begins the and how that Sankirtan mission begins is there's a relish among those who want to glorify God and have the same experience and the same mood, and then it can't be contained. It becomes a force that can't be kept to oneself. It's just like in the Radha Govinda Mandir and Antana Chuta, they do kirtan just to glorify God, deeply relishing, but it can't stay within those walls no matter how hard they try. Okay. Are there any questions? Oh, 1 second. Would anybody like to say hello? Hey, Nandadula, Hare Krishna.
Welcome back to the and you know, we look forward to see you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gurangi.
It was so nice to hear you mention Jack.
Really?
If you see him, please tell him that I said hello and that I miss seeing him.
Really? I didn't even know you knew Jack so much. Did he come around?
Oh, my goodness. No, not in the beginning, but, you know, I used to take a lot of classes with Mahamuni, and at one point, Jack and I were the only students, you know. And then, aside from that, you know, we would always see each other around, you know.
No, okay, I'll say he looks great. He looks great. You know, you're so happy to host that program, you know. And Guna Grimarge lives at his house.
Really?
He's getting a lot of... Yeah, well, you know, when he's here in Dallas, he has some health problems, Guna Grimarge.
Uh-huh.
He takes care of it, so he may stay here a month or 2 months, and he just stays at Jack's house. So Jack gets
wow.
a lot of training and a lot of association, and
wow.
you know, he engaged him in hosting that program, you know, and it was great. Yeah, we had a great time. He's a nice person, very nice person.
Very nice person. I really love Jack.
Okay. I'm going to definitely communicate that to him.
Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
It's Chris, yeah, Chris, I'm still trying to work out everything, and I'll call
okay.
you in a couple of days and see if we can work out something. At least a visit, if not some class somewhere. We'll just see. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Anybody else like to say hello?
Welcome back, Maharaj. I'm glad you arrived safely.
Hey, you know, Mother Adrani, Hare Krishna. Remember Advaitacharya, your godbrother that was in, he's doing really nice down here. He's opened up a center in San Antonio, Texas, and he came up here with so many young people. He's doing great, too. mercy of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami.
We're having his Bhaktivedanta Swami Beatitude on Tuesday.
What's that?
The date is the 19th of March.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah. So many of the people are celebrating on Tuesday.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful stay, Maharaj, and just a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother Andrani. Anybody else like to say hello?
Who's
that? Oh, Govardhan.
That's Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Hi, Krishna. Looking forward to seeing you and your family very soon. Anybody else like to say hello? Who's that?
This is Chaitanya Priya.
Oh, Chaitanya Priya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to let you know that I'm coming to the New York area at the end of the month, and I was wondering if you're still there. I would love to connect with you.
Send me an email, and then dds@wavesofdevotion.com, and I'll look at my schedule, and I'm probably doing quite a few things at that time, so let me know. That's great. That's great. You haven't been back for a while, have you?
Many, many years.
How long are you going to stay?
About 4 days. I'm coming for the Vyasa Puja in Gitanagari, but I will be in New York for about 4 days.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, I appreciate
it. You can ride back with me.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Is this Stella?
No, it's Mother Kalini.
Oh, Mother Kalini. Hare Krishna. You know,
I'm sitting here with Allegra.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
Great. I do want to call you sometimes today because
okay.
I will be in Pennsylvania, and you probably have the contacts to see if I don't know who's there at Gitanagari, if I can visit for a day, if anybody's there, if I can even do a program in the evening one day. You know,
I'm talking about it, sure.
Okay, I'll call you later. Okay, thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay, very well. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end now. Friendship, open to you.